Typically, one in five, like 20%, will be willing to pay you up to five times as much.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
5 times as much? You gotta be joking me.
No. For a lot of these women, 2,500 bucks is nothing. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to offer that and just see who wants it. The value is you. Your worth is inherent. You're worthy because you exist, period. I like to just go to the root and make it so simple. I'm not important. I don't matter. My needs don't matter. I'm not safe. It's all up to me. These are what I call mind bugs. These are lenses that we look at life through. They're not thoughts and beliefs. They're just the eyes that we look through. Welcome to the show. I am super excited because today I have Catherine Rains with me. So I got to know Catherine because she's using my software, Simplero. And you've been crushing it, Catherine. You've been absolutely crushing it. It's amazing to see. So please take a moment, introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, presumably, I'm a full-time artist. That's what my title is. But I don't do any art because what I do is produce online art classes for people. My medium is collage, and my market is people who think they aren't artists because collage is a really easy entry for a lot of people, but it's actually a sophisticated art form. So once they get in, they're hooked. So my
Yes.
job is to turn people into the artists they already are. That's what I do.
That's amazing. I love that. I see it as my mission to unleash human creativity at scale. Like, we're all being creative is the most human thing that there is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's pretty much what I do too.
Exactly. Right. Like, you know, as humans, we create other humans. That's fucking creative.
Yeah, that's true.
Creating a business is art. It's freaking creative.
That's why I'm not, even though I quit my job, I had a corporate job for many decades, and I quit that job specifically to create art and sell art. But once I moved into teaching my art, I see it as still doing art. I mean, I don't
Exactly.
really, I mean, I would like to do art too, but there is a, there's kind of like a, I can't do both. I can't do both at the moment. Someday maybe, but right now I'm focused on teaching other people and inspiring other people. So
that's incredible.
It's a good life.
Yeah. So sidebar here, but my first career path was I wanted to be a jazz pianist. And then what happened was that one of the guys that I was playing with and you know, like practice partner and whatnot, and we were students together in this program, he ended up making it big in rock. So rock music. So playing all the big stages in Denmark, he signed a contract to write songs for Celine Dion as a songwriter, like all that stuff. He just like really made it there. And I looked at him, I'm like, I don't want that life. Like, that's not for me. I think it's awesome that he's doing it. It doesn't call me in that way. This is not. So I'm like, well, the other career path is being a teacher of music. That never appealed to me either. So I kind of abandoned the music career to focus on software, which was my other passion. And everybody was like, oh my God, but Calvin, you're so creative. And I'm like, have you tried making software? Because that's pretty fucking creative.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only one who didn't react that way was my music teacher. He was like, I'm happy for you. That I can see how creative you are there. Like, there's nothing, you know.
Well, actually, software and music are first cousins, really. It's kind of like music and math. Like, they're first
100%.
cousins.
100%.
Yeah, so it's funny because I feel very similar with my business that, you know, some people think, oh, you're not doing art. Well, to me, I am doing art. And I think there's just, it's a choice. You know, it's like a constant, where do I want to put my energy? And I'm not the same age I was when I'm 40. I'm in my 60s now. So, you know, what do I want to do now? What do I want to focus on now is very different than what I wanted to focus on when I was 40. So I'm constantly reevaluating it. What is it that I really want to spend my time on?
Yeah. That is beautiful. And I mean, life is creative, right? Just creating the life that you want to live is an act of creative. It's like we're all, you can be creative in so many ways, but people narrow it down to these lanes, like music's creative, like business is not, software is not, like whatever. Like, no, it's all freaking creative.
Do you still listen to jazz?
Not much. Sometimes.
No.
But actually, I don't listen to music. I don't
Oh.
generally listen to music. I like making music, singing, creating,
Oh, okay.
writing. Yeah. There was the other thing. They used to do a conference here in LA called We Create Music, ASCAP, one of the big music rights organizations. And it was the most amazing thing. My favorite feature was this songwriter's workshop where the artists weren't there, but the songwriters who wrote the songs with the artists would be there performing the songs. One of the guys was, it was at the time where Meghan Trainor was like really hitting it big. And this, like, because you know it's all about that bass, no treble, you know that song. And then this skinny white dude comes up and sings that song. His name is Kevin. He's the one that wrote that song with Meghan Trainor. And like, you know, if Megan shows up, there's like, oh, crowds and da da da. But Kevin, nobody freaking knows Kevin. And so this like songwriter showcase is, it reminds me so much of the software world, because coders are craftsmen and songwriters are craftsmen, and the artists, they're like their own like universe, like celebrity status, all that stuff. Like, you know, but we're craftspeople. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's similar life to me too.
Yeah. So, all right. So tell me about where you're at in your business and where you want to be.
Where I'm at in my business is I'm still in a place where I know I could double. I've been doubling every year in terms of people joining where I am. I think there is probably a threshold of where I can't double anymore, but I think I'm positioned to double for this coming year in 2027. But so that's like monetarily, that's where I want to be. And I'd be happy if I doubled and just stayed there. You know, I think there's something to be said for sustaining, but at the moment, I am still growing, but I'm also trying to grow with what's the word? I'm trying to grow without driving myself crazy because there's so many ways to grow simultaneously. You know, I could create a community around what I do. And in fact, I already created one. And then I said, nope, that's too much. So I'm really trying to figure out where I want to focus. I mean, I have figured out where I want to focus. I want to figure out, I know I want to focus on my annual course that comes out every January. But there are a lot of side shoots to that that are so tempting. You know, it's like, there's ways to make money in addition to what I'm doing, but I don't want to put the time into it. You know, I'm in a place in my life where I really want to love my life and not just always be serving. Right now, I serve a lot and I want to have time to read a book, take a nap, you know, go on a my I want to go on a car ride with my husband, go for the beach for the weekend, you know. And having a business like this is all encompassing. You know, it is up until maybe 2 weeks ago. You know, it can be 7 days a week pretty easy. And so I have to track my hours as if I had a boss to keep myself from working because there's always a million things. There's a million ideas. There's a way not, you know, so many ways I could take this now. So what I'm trying to do is limit myself. Here's my lane. And I'm the kind of person that's always expanding. You know, I have a million ideas, they're all fantastic. But I need to focus so that I have this thriving business and I have a thriving life. And they don't, and they're two different things, you know. They overlap, but they're two different lanes, you know.
All right. Yeah, I definitely want to double click on that. So tell me about, like you said, doubling every year, and like you don't know if you can keep doing that. Like, where are you at revenue wise now?
So gross. I only have an annual course. So my annual course launched in January. So that's where I get all my money for the year. So that was about 550. And you know, if everything works out the way my numbers work out, I think I could double that.
That's amazing. And what makes you think that you couldn't double it again?
Good question. I don't know, 'cause I've never been here before, Calvin. This is a new experience. I mean, every time I've doubled, it's like, oh, because you have to change how you serve people. You know, I need more people to help me. And I did, you know, to get, so I went from 700 people 2 years ago in my course. Now I had 1500 people. Okay, that's great. But that means I need more people helping. I can't do as so much myself. So if I double again, what does that mean? You know, so I'm already figuring out I need more people. You know, I need more staff to answer in the community to, and I need expert level staff, not just people answering simple things. So, and I've got
Got
all
it.
that in place. It's, you know, putting it together now. But I don't
Uh-huh.
know, like, so if I double to 3,000 students, which is what my intention is, 3,000 students, could I get 4 or 5,000 students in one class? I don't know. You know, I haven't seen anybody do that, to be honest. I don't know.
So let's dive into the format of this thing a little bit. So in your annual program here, what's the format? What do people get? How is it delivered?
So it's a 14-week course. So first, you know the term PLC. So it's a I do a pre-course to kind of introduce people to me.
Oh, Jeff Walker, Product Launch
Jeff
Formula.
Walker. Yeah, so I was originally with Jeff Walker a long time ago. So he calls it PLC. So I am so during the month of
Pre-launch
December,
content.
pre-launch content. So during the
Yes.
month of December, I
Did you work? You worked for Jeff,
no,
or
I
no?
actually was part of his launch club.
Okay, yeah, his mastermind, yeah.
So I know his kind of format, but I'm also part of another mastermind new too that also uses the same lingo. Anyway, so d during December I have a pre launch, and then starting January 5th every year I do 10 days live where I am basically doing record. Well, every other day is a recorded lesson, but it's all free. It's to introduce people to collage, get them so excited they can't. It's irresistible to them. And that's how people sign up, you know. So at the end of the 10 days, I open the doors and I have like a 10-day or a 5-day open cart, and then it closes.
And so where you need more staff to support more people, is that during the launch, or is it during the delivery of the program itself?
Mainly during the delivery of the program, but I also need. So during the month of December, I have a whole team of volunteer artists that are previous students, and I give them things to help me, you know, you'd be part of it, and they serve the community during December, but then they go on and serve the community throughout the entire in the Simplero community. So I have a classroom and a community, and
Understood.
then I also have expert coaches that are artists that are also alumni of my program, and they go in there and also serve. So the question is, you know, I have to hire now and train now, not knowing how many people are actually going to sign up. And that's been true every year, you know, but I've always did it right. So far I've done it right. You know, I've anticipated the right number.
So the actual delivery, what does that look like, and where is it that you need this extra staff?
So the delivery starts, you know, obviously once cart closes, there's a set of lessons that are delivered to people every Saturday for 14 weeks, actually 15 weeks. And I also do a live session, a Q&A. And this coming year might be two live sessions if I actually double. But I need expert people in the classroom answering expert questions. And I need people in the community loving people up. You know, encouraging them because 14 weeks is a really long course. I think it is. So I lose people if I'm not actively engaged. You know, I don't have.
So you deliver the course content, which is pre-recorded, and then you do live Q&A sessions with people, and then you also have someone answering people's questions in the community. Is that
And the
right?
classroom, two different groups. Classroom and
What's
community.
the classroom?
The classroom would be where the lessons actually are.
Got it. So the people comment on the lessons to ask questions, and then
Right. So the
in
technical
there.
questions go into the
Got
classroom,
it.
and then the community is where they post their work and cheer each other on.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the obvious opportunity there, which may not make sense for you, is that to just say, well, all the questions are going to be answered on the calls, and then people can submit questions for the calls in advance, and then you will answer them on the call, and then maybe people can ask questions live on the call as well. Maybe you do hot seats, or maybe you don't, but basically, if you wanted to, you could just say, hey, all the question answering of questions happens on the calls, not in on the lesson, not in the community, just because that will then put a cap on the amount of time that you have to spend on it, right? So then it's
Sure.
like, however much you spend on the calls, that's it. And the other part is just not part of what's being offered. You might be like, hey, I do want to offer that. I want that to be part of the service. That's cool. Then you just have to train the people to do that. Right. But that's a choice.
Right. And so far, that's part of what people say they like the most is
Yeah.
because I actually get the two coaches that I've hired for that this past year. We get on like a Laurel and Hardy show, and the three of us take both live and people do submit questions. So we get lots of submitted questions, but we also have a lot of live. And we have an amazing amount of people that show up for these live Q and A's. You know, I could do it like you said. I mean, I could say, okay, during this 1.5 hour block every week is when we answer questions. I mean, I've seen it done before with other people, but it doesn't cost me that much to go on. And I actually like being on stage. So that's actually kind of the part of the fun part. Because otherwise, I'm just releasing lessons. You know, I
No,
don't.
I mean, yeah, I'm saying like do the live, right? The thing that you need people for is this stuff that happens in the community of answering all those questions. That's the part that could be optional if you wanted it to.
Yeah.
But then if people like it and you like to doing it, that you can keep doing that too. But then the you know, it's always the trade-off, right? Of
True.
you know, what I'm getting at is just if that's what causes you the headache and the stress, that is something that you could choose to cut from the program and just say, hey, we're not gonna, or at least like be like, hey, we'll do our best to answer the questions that you guys post in the community. But if you want to make sure that your question gets answered, submit it for the live call, because that's where I answer questions, right? So you could set expectations there a little bit so that you don't have to stress about, do I get to everything in the community? Because then, and also if you don't set the expectation that you won't get to everybody. You won't get to everybody's questions. You will do your best, but like it's time bucketed. I set aside 90 minutes, 2 hours, whatever. I'll answer the top questions. And like if you didn't get your question answered, try again next week. Or, you know, chances are someone else asked a question that's similar enough that you probably got your answer, right? That's just a way to limit it so that it becomes infinitely scalable.
You know what, that I hadn't thought of that. That might be a solution as I get if this continues to grow, because yeah, I don't see, I mean, I can hire more people and it doesn't cost that much to hire people, but you know, my price point is really low, so I don't think that people have an expectation for as much service as they get. I think I over deliver, because most people who have a course like mine are charging at least double, if not triple, you know, my price point. You know, I'm trying to go up in price, but God, it's so hard because my clientele is an older clientele. Not that they can't afford it, but there's a lot of people that can't afford it, you know, and so it's just hard when I hear the sad stories. So, but yeah, I
But wait,
could.
So hang on. So hang on. So what is, yeah, tell me about that. What's hard about the pricing?
That the clientele I get are 60 and above. A lot of them are in their 70s, even 80s, and they are discovering their art, you know, their artistic self for the first time. And I'd say, you know, majority of them can afford what I'm offering, and a lot of them can't because they're on pensions or, you know, whatever. And yeah, and they email me personally. I mean, I get during my whole PLC thing, I get so many people asking me, begging me for allowances, for scholarships, for, and I, you know, my price point's already low. Yeah, I can't give my product away.
So do you do scholarships?
I don't.
No. Have you considered that?
Well, the reason I haven't done it is because my price point's so low.
Right.
And it
So I
adds
mean,
up.
so there's an obvious things that you could do here. One is you can add a VIP level, right? Double the price, triple the price, or something. And those people get their questions answered first. They get an extra call with you a few times through the program. There's just like some things that you share with them that other people don't get, you know, that kind of
Actually,
stuff.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Like if you got that many people that are paying you know, I forgot, you said 1500 people and they're paying, what's the price point? Like 400 or 500 bucks?
400.
400, yeah. So then there's going to be a bunch of those. Typically one in five, like 20% will be willing to pay you up to five times as much.
Really?
Right. Really. Yeah. So
Well, the
that's an
question is, 5 times as much? You gotta be joking me.
No. Nope.
You know what 5 times 4 is?
I do. That's 2 grand.
I you know, it's funny because I was thinking about doing this this past year, but I just chickened out because I couldn't figure out what that package would look like. Like, what would I wasn't thinking about 5 times more. I was thinking about maybe $100 more or $200 more. And you get more of me. You know, I give you more direct contact. I just don't know what it would look like. You know, I couldn't figure out what the package would be. So I just said it was just easier just to go along with what I'm doing. I am going to raise the price this coming year, but it's only by $100. So now my new price point will be, I think, $497 is what I'm thinking.
So now your VIPs just became 2,500.
And you've seen people do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can start low. So it doesn't cost you anything to do an upsell, right? Once they bought the thing for 500, you're like, hey, you're already in, you're already set. But if you would like more time with me, more attention from me, then I'm doing this for the first time as a VIP offer. This year, it's only 1,500. That might sound crazy much to you, but I know for some of you're like, this is a steal at this price for just, $1,000 more, 1,500 more, whatever, like you get. And it doesn't have to be a ton. It's just more you, basically, more time with you. And, a few special things, right? So if that feels right to you, this is your opportunity. Zero pressure, whatever. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to offer that and just see who wants it. So that's an idea. And
Well,
what I want you to consider, go
okay,
ahead.
keep going. Sorry,
No,
I'm
what I want
listening.
you to consider is like you. So I don't know that you see yourself the way that other people see you and the way that I see you, because you're not normal. You're a beautiful lady in your 60s that you both have, like, you've got that corporate career down. Like, you're a serious fucking business lady, right? You don't fuck around with this shit. And you're doing this really creative stuff over here with the collages. And you're now being an entrepreneur for yourself. Like, you exude life. You exude a life where like, you've got the creative side, the flow side, all that stuff, but you also got your shit together, right? You're not lost in the woods here. Like, who you are is extremely powerful and extremely, like, radiant and attractive. And so
Thank
I
you.
think what you'll find is that people want to be with you. These ladies want to be with you because they see a part of themselves that they've abandoned, that they've never developed. And for some of these people, they have life savings. They've already made the money, or their husbands have made the money. They have home equity. Like, they're set. For a lot of these women, 2,500 bucks is nothing. It's fucking nothing. It's like, oh, there's a leak on the whatever in the gutters and the whatever. It costs like $20,000. Like, 2,500 is nothing for them to find their fucking soul. Right?
Well, so first, thank you for saying all that. That was very kind. And I was going to say before you started that, which was lovely, you know, people pay like $6,000 to come on retreats with me, you know, and this is new. So I go to Italy, France, Egypt, Morocco, you know, and I sell out in 3 hours every time. And they're
Yeah,
paying
because that's way
6,000, and they're paying
underpriced.
$6,000. And these are all people that have usually, they all have gone through something with me. You know, they've taken my annual course or they've taken my freebie, something. So I do believe there's a market. It's so, like, you know, when I started going into international teaching, which is just a sideline, it's just like, oh, that's fun. Let's do that. I didn't realize that people would actually want it. It was like, oh, you actually want to come do this thing with me and pay money for it? So that you're probably, I mean, I not probably, I think you are right. I don't know why I'm so nervous. When I do international work, it's sponsored by someone else. Someone else sets the price. I set my price. I say, this is what I want out of it, but I'm not actually charging. For some reason, that's easier. But you know, when I put out Collage Joy, my course, I'm doing it. People are responding to me and they're saying I'm too expensive. You know, a lot of people think my $400 price point's too expensive, but most of them don't. You know, most people think this is a reasonable price. And I think if you compare me to any other course that is this meaty, I'm giving it away, is basically what I think.
I agree. So the other thing that you can do, we'll dive into your hesitation with doing this with selling it in a minute. But the other thing you can do is so you can offer scholarships and you can invite other people to pay for a scholarship.
Now,
So the VIP could have as part of the VIP packages, we'll offer a scholarship to one person or two people or whatever. That can be part of the VIP package, right? Because now I'm doing it not just for me, but I'm doing it also for someone else. But you can also have if they don't want the VIP, you can do a downsell from that. That would just be, hey, if you have the means to support someone else in, getting in touch with their creativity, there are lots of women out there who would love this, but they just can't afford. They just don't have $500. So if you're willing to donate to a scholarship for someone else, maybe it's not a full price thing. Maybe it's just like, hey, you pay for half and I'll pay the other half, right? So I'll match your donation to someone else to come in. That could be brilliant too.
A brilliant idea.
And then people can apply for a scholarship, right? And they can be like, why should I get that scholarship now? Then you will have a bunch of applications to read, so that's also work. But
Well,
hey, you
that's the
can
other thing is
enjoy
that,
them.
where's the, people have amazing stories. I mean, because people send me these volumes of why they need Collage Joy for free, and it breaks my heart. Or they're in Australia or Canada, which also breaks my heart because our exchange rate's not great, so they try to bargain me down, and they kind of see a softness around me. They go, oh, she's bendable. And until this year, I was. I finally like said, no, I can't keep doing this.
It's so funny. It's like the psychological thing of it. Like, where just because the Canadians call their currency dollars as well, and the Australians call it dollars, then they expect it to be like the same. Like, if it had different names, they wouldn't expect
I
that.
know, but our exchange rate happens to be not great,
No,
although I
but I mean, but
oh.
the exchange rate is always fluctuating, right? It's always up and down, and it's like high and
True.
then it's low and what, like whatever. Like that's what currencies do, but because it's like they have the same name, people expect it to be a certain way. If it was like lira or like it
I
was
know.
like 1,000 lira to $1
I
or something,
know.
and that was what they had in Canada, they wouldn't complain about it, right? It would just be what it is.
Well, the funny thing is I do get a tremendous number of people from Canada and Australia. It's just, but I also, those are the people that feel my prices is too high, because, but if you look at my price in UK, it's a bargain, I'm getting, so, but it's the exchange rate. It's just all, what it looks like, the pound compared to the dollar.
Yeah, it's just numbers. People get confused about it, right? Like it's just, but
So let
yeah, I
me
mean,
ask you.
and there
So
are
I
people.
did. So I'm sorry. So I did a VIP package. Would I limit the number of people that could get the VIP package?
You can. You
I
don't
mean,
have to.
because I have to give more of me, and there's only so much of me.
No, but yeah, but I mean, still, it's still a group experience. It's just
Yeah.
that they get certain call, like their questions on the existing group calls, their questions get priority, right? So they'll get their questions answered first before other people. And if you run out of time, then like the VIPers get theirs first. And you also do, maybe you do like four or five additional calls that are just for VIP. Maybe there's like a, and it doesn't like, it, maybe there's like a pre before the thing starts, all the VIPers meet and just kind of get to know each other. People want to network too, right? They want to meet each other. You're just facilitating that. I was part of a program with Dan Martell that had two levels. So the base level was 30K a year, SaaS Academy, and the higher level was 60K a year. And so at the 30K a year level, it was like It was these big events, like it was like the like when it was in person, big events. Then COVID happened, and then it was over Zoom. But the energy was like, "What's up?" There was like that kind of energy. Then, and at the higher level, you got all of that. But then you also got the special boardroom. It was called meet levels meetings for just boardroom people, and the vibe there was much more like, "Hey, Catherine, how are you doing? Chill. We're just like," I think it was very intentional. It was like. And I'm not saying like you're, but you get how like, hey, you're a VIP. You're different. It's a different vibe here. We're more like peers. We're more like on a level. We're just hanging out. They still want you. You're still the leader, right? But there's a little bit more of a different vibe in those rooms.
Yeah, I love it. It's a matter of figuring out what I would give them that make would make them feel that it was worth it to, to pay more, and what that price point would be. I'm chicken to, I mean, I hear I'm chicken for $100, man.
So, okay.
I'm thinking 9.97. Can I even get away with that? It's like, oh my gosh.
So, what is the value that you think they would want?
The value they would want. And you mean the VIPs in terms of what they would want more? I think they would love to have their art personally critiqued by me, like one-on-one, which I don't do.
Not one, yeah, it doesn't have to be one on one, right?
I couldn't do it.
No.
That's why I was saying, in order to give like really personalized service, I'd have to limit the number of people, which limits the amount of income, that would actually be generated from a VIP. I think that, I don't know, I have to think about this, but I think just giving them private Q&As, where the big Q&A is you submit questions and I am speed answering for an hour and a half as fast as I can get it through. But I think if I gave private Q&As even once a week, because I think these are easy. This is like games. And it's fun and they love it. That's one of the best things they like about the course that I just do, but they get to come on camera. So the other people don't come on camera. These people get to come on camera, talk to me personally. What's your issue? What's the deal? I'm kind of like a, what's that word? Like someone who solves problems,
A
and
problem solver.
I'm a problem solver. I was thinking of Miss
Oh
Manners, that personality, like, when you can, you
yeah.
call, I have my uncle is awful and blah, blah, blah. Like I'm like that for art. So, and I encourage and I love them. So, I mean, that alone could be it. But maybe I could give them a gift. Maybe I could come up with some kind of special t-shirt or art supply that they get as VIP. I don't know.
If you were to say, really distill it down, what is the value that they get in VIP?
They get a personal dose of love for me. I think that I give people love and joy. I think people feel that I am dousing them in love. And I think that they want that attention. They would like the attention. They would like the connection. A lot of people think they're best friends with me. That's the way they talk. By the way, I can't actually put this in my I can't actually share this with my community. But I do feel that, like, when I travel to Europe and I meet these people that have been in my course, they think they know me personally, like we're best friends. So I think that they want to be my art bestie. That's what I give them, and that because I'm I think I not think I know I'm very warm, genuinely warm, and but this way they get me, as opposed to, I mean, that alone, I think, but I don't know, I have to give them more. I have to give them more than just private question and answer.
You just nailed it. You
Really?
just said it. What they get is what? What they get is. You just said it.
Doused with love and
You just
joy.
get what they get is you.
And yet it's me.
The value is you. Nothing else. No gift needed. No fucking nothing. The value is you. It's funny that you've been studying with Jeff Walker, because when I got into this online business, that was in on March 27, 2008.
Really? March 27th. 2008.
2008.
Wow.
I was sitting in my home in Copenhagen, and we just had our second child the month, the year, like November the year before. It was my birthday, which is why I remember the date.
Oh.
And a month before, I had come to the kind of awakening realization download that my purpose in life is to integrate spirituality and entrepreneurship.
Ooh.
And it was like a moment of like, boom, it just landed. I was like, whoa, what is this? I
Love
was like, what
that.
does that mean? How do I do this?
Love
And
it.
that's what got me looking for, well, how do I do a workshop or an event? How do I market thing? I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. And then I came across these videos that talked about this guy named Jeff Walker, and there's something about product launch formula. And I got sucked into that. I got some emails and I saw some PLC. I didn't know it was PLC, but I saw some videos, right? About like stuff. I was like, what is this? This is so interesting. And so it was, my birthday. It was late at night. My wife had gone to bed. My kids were asleep. And it was like, yeah, cart closes in like whatever number of hours. So I'm like, if I don't buy now, it'll be too late. And so I was, in debt. It was like really scary. I just moved into this new house and it was like all kinds of things like reconstruction that got way over and some things around mortgage that were technicalities that just made it crazy expensive. Did not have the money, had to borrow a bunch of money. And I was like, okay, let me buy this thing. $2,000. It was an insane amount of money for me at the time. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. There's a guarantee, whatever. Like, let me do it. It was amazing. And the thing that I took away, I learned stuff, right? The formula and the things. But the thing I remember the most that I really took away was, so we had, it was winter in Copenhagen. My son, the newborn, really wouldn't sleep at night very much. And our technique was to put him in the stroller at night and then walk around these winter, like this street where we lived, like in the cold, but just like the movement and the cold and all that stuff, like that seemed to soothe him, and then he would fall asleep. And so what I would do while I was out there in the middle of the night in the darkness and the cold with the snow walking my son was listen to Jeff Walker.
Oh.
Because I would download it, I'd put it on my phone, listen to it, and then I would not listen to the words. I would absorb his energy.
He has
How is he
similar energy.
being
He has
around
similar
business?
energy.
Yeah. How is he being around business? How is he being around marketing? How is he being around money? And I could just feel that his whole way of being in the world around this stuff was so different from everything that I'd grown up with. And I got so much from that. And so what I want to invite you to consider is that just being with you is the fucking value.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at Jeff Walker's model, you paid $2,000 for a recorded course, pretty much no interaction. I can't.
Yeah.
And then I did that too in another way, but I did that too. But I remember paying a lot of money to go see him personally. So I went on a just 2 days, and I paid more than double the price. And then I went to the entire launch club, which was four times the price. And I didn't even get to talk to Jeff. He has hired help. And that was all valuable. There was nothing not great, great about it. I don't think that I really, what's the word? I don't really see my value, I guess. That's probably the, because it's, I'm kind of, I apologize for the price. Even though I know I'm giving a huge amount for what people are getting. So I think I know you're right. I guess the question is how to position the VIP part of that, which I love the idea because that doesn't feel like a burden to me. That feels like, oh, I get to have a small club where I'm loving you even more because I like loving you. The question is what to give them. And I understand what you're saying that but they're already getting that for the $500 fee. You know, what would be, I have to put some thought into it. How can I make them feel special that they'd want to give me $9.97? I know you say much more, but that's a big leap for me. Like getting someone to pay double for more attention? I don't know.
How did you learn that you weren't valuable just for being you?
Oh, how did I learn that? I think there's a lot of messaging, you know, from childhood, just being a woman, you know, in our society. You know, we're not good enough unless we are something else. So I think there's a lot of layers to that.
Is there a moment that stands out?
Oh gosh. Well, I don't know how personal I want to get here, but you know, so
Hold
me, for
on.
me growing up, I basically raised my parents, so they weren't really figures that were validating me. I was validating them, you know, in a million different ways. And I mean, that was the way it just was. So I've had to go through a huge amount of therapy and two marriages. I mean, I'm in a very healthy marriage, but my first one wasn't, you know, where I was giving but not getting. And I can see a parallel, you know, in business. It's just, you know, I think I'm so still new. Well, I know I'm new to this. This is 4 years in. You know, and the rest of my life, I was a corporate person and it was a different deal. You know, people pay me, I do the job. But this, I have to designate my own worth. You know, I have to say what I'm worth.
And what is your worth based on?
I don't even know how to answer that question.
Right.
You know, in terms of my worth for what I sell.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean it more broadly, but so I would love to, if you're willing to it, like just bring me into a situation at home with your parents. Like, how old are you? Just walk me through one specific story that comes to mind, one specific experience that comes to mind.
So, you sound like my counselor, Calvin. It's not one situation. It's more the entire memory of childhood is basically I'm invisible. You know, I'm not really there. You know, I'm there to support them. I'm there to serve them. So that's, you know, I grew up with a schizophrenic mother, which is the same as growing up with someone who's an alcoholic parent. You know, where you have an alcoholic parent and the other parent's an enabler. So it's the same dynamic, you know, as I had a father that was basically revolving his life around, you know, a mother that was my mother that was, you know, needed 100% care. So.
So do you remember what I'd love to do is like go back to her, Catherine, like how old is she? Like, are we talking like 5 years old, 7 years old? Like what?
One poignant, I was a Girl Scout, I was a brownie, you know, I was like 8 years old and, you know, coming home by myself and taking care of myself. And, you know, mother was holed up somewhere, you know, couldn't be a mother.
Was she at home? Was she out of the house?
Both. Mostly she was just kind of barricaded in her own world, you know, so I was, you know, left to fend for myself.
So she would be in the house, but like in her room, door closed, like doing whatever, or.
Yeah, she wasn't available for a good part of my childhood.
Did she have a job?
No.
No.
That was the era when women didn't work, really. You know, she wasn't expected to work.
And so what did 8-year-old Catherine or 5-year-old Catherine or whatever you it kind of whatever age feels like it pops right now. What did she make that mean about her?
What I internalized from that was that I had to take care of things. You know, I had to be the adult. I had to be the big person. I also had a younger sister, who was not aware that my mother was sick, which was really weird because I knew from the time I was three. But she didn't find out till very later on because I was there. You know, I was there to make sure she was okay, and my
So
father, make sure he was okay.
it was all up to you to hold everything together.
Pretty much. Although, I mean, I don't think that's what I really did, but in my child's
No,
eye, that
in
is
your
what I was
mind,
doing. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is definitely like I'm hearing that young Catherine didn't feel safe just being, right?
Right. Well, there wasn't any room for her to really to be a kid. You know, wasn't any room for
Right.
her. I don't know if she didn't feel unsafe. I think she felt safe in a physical way, but she didn't feel like she had worth. You know, her worth was to support. And just, you know, I'm seeing the parallel. So.
No worth, not important, right? I don't matter. My needs don't matter. Her
Yeah,
needs
I didn't
didn't
know.
matter.
Right, I didn't know I had them. I mean, it took me decades and decades to come out of that, just so that I was a whole, you know, so that I could have healthy relationships. You know, I wasn't just a person that served other people.
I get it. That's a lot of responsibility for a young girl. So yeah, it's like it's a concoction of like not important, no value, not valuable, don't matter, my needs don't matter. Fundamentally not safe here. Like you were never held, right? You were never held, protected, like seen, heard, value. You mentioned before, like needing to stay invisible. What I'm hearing from that is like stay out of trouble, like don't do the wrong. So that's also like not safe, a safe place, right? And it's all up to you to like hold it all together. That's kind of the package that I'm seeing here, that I'm
Right.
hearing.
That's what it felt like. Yeah.
So that young version, that 8-year-old Catherine who came home from the scout, being a Girl Scout, like what if you could go back today and just hold her and tell her what did she most need to hear at that time? What would have been the most amazing message for her to hear in that moment?
She probably what every kid wants to hear. What I didn't hear was that they were just cherished and adored, and to go out and make a mess and have fun, and you don't have responsibility, you don't have to take care of your sister, you don't have to take care of your parents. You know, I would have loved the message. I would love that, you know, someone just to want to hug and cherish me, you know,
Fuck
which is
yeah.
what I do for my nieces. My nieces growing up, I gave them everything that I would have wanted, you know.
And to a large part, what you do for with your students.
I think so. I think they feel that.
So all of those things that you just would say to her, that you said to her, are they as true or truer than, I'm not important, my needs don't matter, it's all up to me, I'm not safe.
So ask me the question. I'm not sure the question.
Yeah, everything you just said to 8-year-old Catherine, is that at least as true as the other side of like, I'm not important, my needs don't matter, I'm not safe, it's all up to me?
Is that as true?
that you're cherished.
Yes.
It's you shouldn't you don't need to take
Well,
care of
see,
everything.
so here's the ironic thing, because I've been through, I've done a lot of therapy and I know I cherish myself and I do take incredible, incredible good care of myself, which is why I have really good boundaries in most areas of my life. Maybe not with my business. I think I overserve and underexpect.
I do too. Yeah, I would agree. So these is it true that you're not important?
No. No.
Is it true that your needs don't matter, that you don't matter?
No, it's not true.
No. Is it true that your value or your worth is in what you do?
No.
No. No. Is
What
it
I do
true
is a
that,
small part of me. What I do is a
was
small
it?
part of me.
Yeah. Is it true that like you have to stay invisible?
No.
Is it true that you have to like you got to keep everything together? It's all up to you.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Might be true. In my brain,
Yeah.
it is. Because I do keep everything together.
Which is also what makes it hard, right? And the bigger the business grows, the more moving parts there are, the more things, the more there is to keep all together. And that's where the whole like, well, I want to have a good life, but I also want a business. And now they're in conflict, right? You see how that works?
Yeah, I think so.
So the way I think of it is that the stories here that we've uncovered, I like to just go to the root and make it so simple, right? Like, I'm not important. I don't matter. My needs don't matter. I'm not safe. It's all up to me. These are what I call mind bugs. These are lenses that we look at life through. They're not thoughts and beliefs so much as they're just the eyes that we look through. We just look at the world through the eyes of like, I'm not important. I don't have value. I don't matter. And then from a place of being that, but being identified with that false self that is not important, don't matter, needs don't matter, we try to counteract that. We try to compensate from that, maybe for by overgiving, over-delivering, or we're like, okay, I need to set boundaries, I need to put limits because but it's all coming from the energy of like, I'm not important, I don't matter, et cetera. So it's still that part of us that's doing it. It's all to me. And the opportunity is to recognize that all of that lives at the level of mind, of like the human part of us, the ego part of us. And what it's doing is it's those are lies that are keeping us away from the essence of who we are. Who you are is a soul, spirit. At a soul level, like your worth is inherent. You're worthy because you exist, period. Your worth and your value is because you exist. No doing. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for anybody. You're very worthy and valuable because you exist. Now there's a marketplace, and there are some things that we have to do in the marketplace, but fundamentally, you're worthy because you exist. And ultimately, the value that people are seeking is that. And everything that we all are seeking is it's who you are. Like we want to feel free. Well, freedom is who you are. We want to feel abundant. Well, abundance is who you are. We want to feel loved or lovable or loving. Well, love is who you are. Everything we're seeking is who we already are. It's just that the lies are keeping us away from that. Like the lie of like, I'm not important. I don't matter. Like it's all up to me. I'm not safe. All that stuff. Those are the lies that are keeping us away from it. And the trick is instead of trying to instead of operating from within the lie, then trying to fix it, recognize, oh, that's that lie again. So it's like you start to notice, oh, yep, I'm doing the I'm not important thing again. I know that. Just let it go. Back to center, right? So when you're thinking of doing the VIP, the value is fucking you. The value is you showing up from your essence free, which is what you do naturally because you freaking love it, right? But then your ego self, your small self comes in and be like, well, but 2,500 is definitely too much, but maybe like 1,000, I can do that, or like whatever the stories are, right? And then you're just like, hey, I hear that. This is just like 8-year-old Catherine again saying, hey, mama, I need you. You just hold her for a minute. Hey, beautiful sweetheart, you're so beautiful. You're so cherished. You're incredible. Just go play. There's nothing for you to do here. I got this. And you just write down a number and you put it in the fucking page. You put it in Simplero in the, as the product price and you do it. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Calvin, you put the fucking number in and I'll just go with
I'm
it.
happy to. I'm happy to. Yeah.
That's the advantage of working for someone else. They decide. Okay, you decided my worth. I'm good. I'm deciding my worth, you know?
But it's
And
not a reflection of your worth at all. That's what I wanted to get. Your worth is infinite. Your worth is inherent. Your worth does not go up and down. It exists because you exist, period. Your worth is there. It's not a number, there's no comparison. And what makes you attractive is that. Like you are the product. You are what they want. The collage is the medium. It's like, yes, we gotta have something there, right? But what they want is you because you represent, right? What they want is their fucking soul. Right? What they're looking for is them, their essence. That's it. They think it happens through collages, which and that can be a pathway to it. But what it's not about the collage. It's not about that. It's about them feeling home in themselves, actually feeling themselves, right? Feeling whole, feeling who they are. That's what we're all looking for. Well, that's what they're looking for. And that's what you offer because you have done a great job of being that, of being there's still a few stories here, but you've done so much to be that person. And when you show up on those calls, you're really good at just being in your essence. And the more that you can just be that in your PLC, your pre-launch content, when you do the 10-day thing, and then as you deliver after, the more people are going to feel that and be drawn to it, and they want more of that. And that's what VIP delivers. It's just whenever those stories come up that says, well, I'm not wor important and I'm not worthy and they can't afford and all that stuff, just be like, hey, 8-year-old Catherine, I hear you. I got you. I love you. You're incredible. Just go play. Have fun. It's not, you don't need to orchestrate fucking anything. And then you let God in. It's not up to you to hold all the pieces and figure it all the fuck out. Let God do this because you're doing God's work.
You're talking my language, Calvin. I offer it all to God all the time.
And we're just so busy pushing him away, right? It's like, no, it's all up to me, and I'm telling you, God, I'm not important. And God's like, all right, I'm here for you when you're ready.
Right. He, she reflects back. You know what you are willing to let in. You're talking my language. Then it just comes down to logistics, you know? So I can see how I could offer that without a lot of extra work. I mean, there'd be a little bit more work, but not like developing a whole community, which is what I was going to do. That's a
But
lot of
it's
work.
work. It's it, the best work is work that doesn't feel like work, right?
True.
Like when I doing this right now is it work? I guess technically, but it doesn't feel like work. I'm just having a blast. I get to hang out with you.
I know. Most of my job is like that too, for the most part. Yeah, the question is, you know, how to get most of your job like that. You know, like you're doing the fun parts, which to me is, you know, open Q&As or like, oh, cool. I mean, podcasts. Cool. That's why, of course, I'm going to say yes to you. Yeah. Oh.
And the way that you do that is you just invite other people to do all the other things.
I know.
Right?
I'm
But if you
learning.
have a mind bug that says it's all up to me to hold it all together,
I know.
that then she's gonna assert herself, and then she's gonna make sure to complicate it into ways so that only you can do it, or hold on to things that you don't need to hold on to, but that you don't need to do that.
Thanks for the reminder. That's what I'm trying to learn how. Like just simple stuff. Like I don't need to write my newsletters. By the way, I do write my newsletters, but I can do it easier. I can get people to write big parts of it and I can just kind of do the final piece.
Maybe just speak it, and then someone writes it if that feels easier for you,
I know what I'm
right?
doing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have a
That
personal relationship with Claude now. Ooh.
that's awesome. Let it be easy. Let it be fun. Stay in your zone of genius. Let everybody do something else. I was with, do you know Gay Hendricks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Gay and my wife and I were at the Met like years ago, and he was like, he wanted to see this one portrait that he really loves of Van Gogh, and it's amazing. But the experience was so funny because like I'm the one that goes into that place. I'll look at a map and I'm like, okay, we're here, we want to get there. And like Gay is just like every single like employee at the museum, he's like, where is this room? And then he's like, go this way. And then the next person is like, where's that room? He's like, this way. And then he just keeps asking people. And I was like, you don't look at a map. He's like, no, that's their zone of genius. I'll let them do their zone of genius thing. My zone of genius is like writing books and being here and enjoying the artworks. Like, the more you can just let other people stay in their zone of genius, like everything that you don't f are th aren't thrilled doing is something that someone will be in someone else's zone of genius. Let them do that.
I'm learning one task at a time what I can let go of.
And
So
the trick
creative.
is to notice the lie and dissolve the lie. Notice the lie that you're not important, your needs don't matter, you're not worthy, you're not worth it, you're not valuable. You have to hold it all together. So whenever those come up, just point, notice it. I was working with Peter Krohn, if you know who he is, like a couple of years ago, and he pointed out for me how one of my core mind bugs was I'm doing it wrong, or I did it wrong, or I did something wrong. And you see, like if I'm being a coach, and then I'm like, my whole worldview is I did it wrong. It's like, hey, let me show you how to do it. I did this wrong, but I'll show you how to do it. It's not the best frame for like a coaching business, for example. And from
Yeah.
the time that he pointed it out to me, it was like when he said it, I was like, oh shit. It was like, what if none of what I ever did was wrong? What if nothing that I ever did was wrong? No mistakes, none of it was ever wrong. It was like, ah, holy fuck, the freedom. And I was like, yeah, I did what I did. I couldn't have done anything different because I did. I didn't. I did what I did. And some of the things that there are consequences to my actions, and some of the consequences I like and some I don't like, but that's fine. We can deal with the physics of that. But it takes away the whole judgment of it was wrong. I did something wrong, right? So now it also takes away the fear of doing something wrong in the future. Because in the future, I'll just do whatever I do, and what'll happen is what happens, and that's it. Like, so it landed in me. I was like, wow, holy, it's a whole newer way of relating to life. But then it took me a year to get it. It took me a year. It was like a year later when I was on a trip with my wife, and I just noticed, holy shit, like 30 times, 60 times in a day, I'll have like, oh, I woke up wrong, I walked the dog wrong, I like didn't walk the dog wrong, or I like ate the wrong thing, or I ate it in the wrong way, or I ate it at a wrong time. And not like it was like constant for me. And it really took me a year from he pointed it out till I really saw how pervasive it was.
Well, I can definitely see a parallel here, Calvin. I don't think I don't think you learn anything once. Well, I mean, you could learn it once. That'd be nice. But, for me, it's been layer upon layer upon layer. And, I think my whole business, the business is an opportunity for me to grow more. You know, I it's a it's both I'm serving because this is my purpose. You know, my purpose is to support people in finding their creative beings. But it's also for me to heal. I think that life gives you exactly what you need at all times. And he gave me you, Calvin. Life gave me you. So he gave me a lot to think about, because I honestly hadn't thought that maybe the way that I position, well, just pricing, is a good example. And because it's hard for me. It's hard for me to, well, it's hard for me to ask what I think I'm worth. That's for sure. So thank you.
My pleasure. And I get so I just want to so the reason I shared the story with Doing It Wrong and Peter Crohn is to these mind bugs for you, not important. I don't matter. My needs don't matter. It's all up to me. I'm not safe. Maybe you have a flavor of I'm doing it wrong as well. Who knows? But they're gonna keep popping up. And the invitation is to just really notice. Like my wife, when we really got what her lens was, whenever she'd get upset, I'm just like, hey honey, is it more I'm not safe? I'm not important, because she's very similar in that way. I'm not safe, not important, needs don't matter, or the future is gonna be bad. Is it what's most active for you right now? And she's like, not safe. It's all of them. And so it's like, it's just that awareness of it. Whenever she gets stressed, it's just those same ones every time. And so the more you catch yourself, oh, I got back into I'm not important, right? Is that like the more you catch yourself doing that. And then you don't need to go affirmation the other way. You don't need to, you just let it go, because you've already looked at it. You know it's a lie. Okay, back to center, back to essence, back to who you are, and then do the thing, right? So that's the process. That's the work. It's just that. It's gonna keep showing up in different ways, and then it eventually just kind of stops go showing up. So And I think for a VIP, if it's just like we're gonna have a pre-party networking where you guys can just all meet each other, and then we're gonna have maybe every week, we're gonna have an extra bonus call just for VIPs, where I'll critique your work and I'll get you up live hot seat and we can actually talk. And then like maybe at the end, there's an extra special call where you just have everybody share what they got out of this, like who did they become through the process of exploring this, like what other changes happen in their lives because of that. Like that's it. You don't need anything else. That's your fucking VIP package.
What's my price, Kelvin?
What is your price? What do you think?
997.
Yeah, plus it's 2,500. This is an extra 2 grand. It's just an extra 2 grand. They already paid 500. It's an extra
Well,
2 grand that also pays a scholarship for someone else to join, and it gets some VIP. So it's really just 1,500 for the VIP. That's a fucking steal.
so I guess to give that much love to a VIP group means I have to limit the number of people, which makes it more
Why?
exclusive.
Why?
Because you can't do critiques on all those people's work. If I get 100
You
people,
critique for however long it is, an hour and 90 minutes, and you critique as much as you can during that time, and that's it. Period. You don't have to give to every single person.
who's VIP?
No, you don't. You don't. They get just as much from being in the room, from hearing each other, from seeing your critique of someone else's work, from just the networking that happens in the beginning, first session, and the last session, they get plenty from that. No, they don't. Peter Krohn again. So he does a mastermind, which I think is like $5,000-$6,000 ish. And there's no VIP level, but the mastermind is like, is that like $6,000 ish range? And I think there's usually like 400 or 500 people on each live call that he does. And he'll coach maybe like three, four during a call. And that's it. Like
Wow.
there'll be like, 50, 60, 70 hands up that want to get coaching. He'll get to as many as he can. And he spends like 20, 30, 40 minutes per person. And like, that's it. That's fine. It's just, you don't need to set an expectation that you will get to everybody. It's still super fucking valuable. Why? Because they got to be with you. They get to be in the room with you.
In an exclusive way.
Yeah. In a way where the vibe is a little bit different, it's a little bit more intimate. It's a little bit more, there's a little bit more connection there because they can actually talk to you, but
Right.
just watching other people talk to you. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens in January.
I will come in there and I will set this
I
motherfucking
know you'll put the price. I'll put one price in and you'll raise it.
thing up for you.
I mean,
Yes.
I'm assuming you can get into my account. There you go. What were you doing? God, Gallagher's gonna haunt me.
In the most loving way, Catherine.
The most loving way.
Yeah.
Well, I have, what's this is May. I have from May to January. Well, really, May to December. May to January to put this in my heart and
Yeah.
talk to people about it, see what I can come up with.
Just get used to it. There's no coming up with. You already fucking came up with it. You just gotta do it.
You fucking came up with it,
I
and
did.
I have to own it.
That's
That's
fine. That's fair. That's
what
fair.
I get. All of a sudden, my open cart will happen. I'll go, "What? That wasn't the price I
Exactly.
said." And
Right.
that's
You can blame it on me. Just blame it on me. It's a software glitch.
Well, then that won't hold with the software glitch. So no,
Well,
Calvin made it up, and I just have to go along because he told me to.
right, it's a software glitch and no backseas now. Yeah. All right,
Calvin,
Catherine, this is so
thank
much
you. It
fun. Tell
was a
me, so
lot of
what,
fun.
yeah, give me just like what are you sitting with? What do you know is true from this?
What I know is true is that I undervalue what I offer. And I also give myself a lot of grace for why I am where I am, because I'm learning as I go.
Totally.
And you gave me a kind of a punch in the gut. It's like, all right, fine. So, and I seriously, I was going to do it last year, but the way I was going to do it was, $100 bump, And I can see, I'm not sure about the 2500, but I am going, it's now in my brain, and I've got other, people, I have coaches and I'm part of mastermind. So it's going to be part of like, okay, how can I design this? Because I think that would be an easy upgrade. It would be something relatively easy with a few extra somethings. I could make that work and increase the income without a lot of extra work. So thank you. Thanks for that gift. That was, I didn't know what getting myself into here, Calvin. But you are a coach counselor fulfilling your purpose through,
All other things.
yeah. That's all. I see my gig too. I just have to, I think, a little more expanded. And I do see everything I'm doing. It's part of my healing journey. So you're a part of my healing journey. So thank you for that. It was a gift.
You're right on track. There's no judgment. You can't fuck it up.
That's what I tell people all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're in alignment here, Colin.
Totally. Totally. I see
You just see your worth bigger than my worth. You see your
you.
worth bigger.
I see you're worth bigger than you do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Catherine, you're so incredible. You're
I
so
think same
beautiful.
you, Calvin. So I'm so
You
glad
too.
that I'm part of Simplero. And that's not a sales
Me
pitch. I
too.
mean, it's not like a I'm buttering anything up, so I'm not getting
Yeah.
anything other than I get great support and advice. I love your team too.
So glad to hear that. I'll pass that on. Thank you, Catherine. Such a pleasure to be with you as always. I can't wait to see what you do with this.
Me too. Watch me in January.
Yeah, I will. I mean, you could do like just a VIP circle between now and then. You can do it anytime you want. It's like, hey, five calls, just come hang with me. We'll talk about your artwork, whatever. You have a bunch of alumni. You just do that tomorrow. Today, it's early in the
Plenty of time.
day
Throw this together.
still.
VIP circle. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I got the
Great.
name.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Catherine. I'll
Thank
see you
you, Calvin.
around. All
Bye. It's
right.
been a pleasure.
Yeah,
Bye.
likewise. Bye.